You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
So my name is Michal Duran. I'm a member of the Israeli Knesset for the last 4 years. Most of my life I spent as a member of the youth movement Hanor Oved Velomed, which is a sister movement of Rabbonim Dror. Then became a parliamentarian assistant for Shelly Yechimovich. Then was the first female ever to be elected as chairperson of the Young Guard of the Labour Party. What I do in the Knesset, I do pension policy, health policy, and workers' rights.
You were elected as a member of Knesset at a very young age. You became a member of Knesset, Chavra Knesset, at the age of 35. Can you please tell us about the road to become a member of Knesset at such a young age? What prompted you to seek this political career?
Most of my life, I was actually doing informal education, and I saw that that was the best way to influence the Israeli society. But at some point, I realized that it's not enough. You might be a very good teacher or a great madricha, a facilitator in a youth movement, and yet, eventually, you send the kids home. And if they need despair, there's a limit to what they can do. So I kind of realized that I have to change the world around it, and all, not only through education. This is how I got into politics. I became a parliamentarian assistant. After the election of 2009, when Labour got 13 seats in the parliament, and just for a comparison, with Yitzhak Rabin as the chairperson of the Labour, we got 44, and people had jokes like, we are a monument of something that once was once great, that every event in the Labour looked like an event in an old-age home. I started thinking, why do I keep voting Labour? And I realized that for someone like me, who's a Zionist and a social democrat and a pragmatic person, I have no other alternative. So I decided to dive in, and when there was election being held, I was chairperson of the Young Guard of the Labour Party, competed, and I won the election. I basically had renewed the Young Guard of the Labour Party. And now people are joking that every event looks like an event where grandchildren come to visit in an old age home. This is how I got into politics.
That's part of rejuvenation of the Israeli Labour Party. And we are talking to member of Knesset Michal Biran, and you are listening to SBS Radio broadcasting around Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Can you please comment about the economy in Israel? I mean, Israel now is an envy of the Western world with the high-tech industry, with innovation, with investments.
All of that is true. Israel is a very, very successful country. But sometimes it's not distributed very fairly. A lot of people, successful people, find it that it's kind of hard to get by. Where you could see that in my parents' generation, even a bus driver and a nurse could buy an apartment, send their children to university. Now it takes 146 salaries, monthly salaries, you put aside just to buy an apartment. And when you add to that the high expenses in the for groceries, the thing that you have to pay for education and health that you didn't have to pay for 20 years ago, think that with the salaries being stuck in the last two decades, and all the expenses getting higher and higher, we get to have this strange phenomenon that we have a very successful economy, but the people are having a hard time to get by.
And we are talking to member of Knesset Michal Biran, and you're listening to SBS Radio broadcasting around Australia. Chavrat Knesset, Michal Biran, the Israeli Labour Party always been an alternative to the Likud when it comes to foreign policies and to the conflict, Israeli-Arab conflict. What is happening today?
I think the main difference today between Likud and the Labour is that the Likud don't have an actual plan to what they intend to do. We don't want to give the Palestinian Israeli citizenship because we think the conflict is temporary and we are about to divorce the Palestinians. But the Likud seems to think that the conflict is here to stay forever. And then we keep asking, what's the plan? One option is not to give them citizenship and then getting further away from the democratic club of democracy. The other option is to give them citizenship and might lose Jewish majority. By the way, even if you don't lose majority, think about 40%, 60%, how Israel is going to look like. What's going to happen to running by the Jewish calendar, the Jewish narrative of when you are being taught history. Think about the thing that we take for granted, that today there's somewhere Jews around the world that are facing trouble and anti-Semitism. Israel is the refuge. With 40%, 60%, it might not be as simple. So we think that the only way to have both Israel, both as a democracy, and keep maintaining the Jewish majority is to divorce the Palestinians and have the two-state solution. Of course, that it's not only up to us. And people keep asking if Abu Mazen is a partner. I think he's a partner for something. For example, there's a very good cooperation between the IDF, Sahal, and the Palestinian Authority regarding security. I don't think he's a partner for peace. But since we do not elect Abu Mazen, we elect the Israeli Prime Minister, I want to make sure that we're doing the best we can. And I think that's what other partners around the world would like to see, that we're doing the best we can, coming to negotiate about a treaty, about a resolution to the conflict. The fact that Netanyahu is not doing the best he can in that regard is making very, very difficult around the world with Israel international relations.
Michal Biran, can you please tell us about your trip in Australia, about your visit in Australia?
It was my first time to visit Australia. It was very insightful. I have been meeting a lot of groups coming from Australia since I was elected to the Knesset, but it was my first time here. And I also had a very personal story and a personal task I got from my 96-year-old grandfather, Chaim Kuritsky, who's a Holocaust survivor. And he asked me to go and visit the grave of his father, Harry, of Hirsch Kuritsky. And it's an interesting story, but it seemed that my grandfather was abandoned by his father when he was five, and he had three younger siblings. And for a while, they were in some kind of contact when the Second World War started. He asked them to try to escape through Sweden, and he'll meet them there. But obviously, they didn't manage to do so. But when the war was over, you would expect father to try and get in touch with his three of out of four children who survived the war. But he didn't. They knew he went to Australia to an aunt called Chaya Portnoy. And for years, they've asked Dalia Sinclair to try and help them find him. And she didn't find any trace. And then one day she saw on the Jewish news a list of people that were buried, and nobody paid for the tombstone because they didn't have families. And there he was. So I was the first member of my family to come and visit the cemetery. I have put three stones for each one of his surviving children. And my grandfather and sister was very, very moved by this closure.
That is amazing. Member of Knesset, Michal Biran, thank you very much and good luck. sbs.com.au